A new church is being born out of neighboring in the schools, in the high schools. These guys are really doing it, and we're so excited to see how God's birthing this in our community. But we're excited to be here. And the question I have for you is the question I ask myself, you know, why did God move you into your neighborhood? Why did God move you in your neighborhood? I've had the privilege of living in my house, in my neighborhood, for 28 years, which is unique in Southern California. People are moving and buying and selling and all the things that are happening, jobs, schools, people are moving all the time. And when I moved into my community 28 years ago as a young business professional, I thought this house was going to be a flip. This was a fixer-upper. This was a nice buy in the neighborhood, and I was going to ride the Southern California wave of home prices going up, and I was going to make a lot of money. I moved to my neighborhood to make a lot of money in my house. I moved to my neighborhood because I liked the schools and I wanted my kids to get the right kind of education and go to the right kind of school. I moved to my neighborhood because I was moving up the chain and eventually I was going to buy a house on the ocean and have that view and have all that I wanted. The American dream, right? 28 years later, I'm still in the same house. 28 years, I'm not a businessman, I'm a pastor. 28 years, my house is still a fixer-upper. We're still fixing it up. 28 years, I've realized why God moved me into the neighborhood, not why I chose to live in that neighborhood. It was to learn how to love. Love was the priority. Love was the goal. Love was the outcome. I was moved in my house because my neighbor, Wally and Rita. I was moved in my house because of Tom and Shelley. I was moved in my house because of Peter and Andrea. I was moved in my house because of crazy Mr. Hoffenstuffer that lives behind the back fence. We still don't know if you go into that house, if you ever come out of it. But I was moved in my neighborhood because of the people around me. I was moved in my neighborhood to learn to love. I was moved in my neighborhood because of the heart of God. Because God is the ultimate good neighbor, right? I love John 1:14 as Eugene Peterson translates it in the Message, because it's about neighboring. Look at what it says here. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. I love that translation. I love the essence of the incarnation as he captures that. God moved. He loved us so much, he moved into our neighborhood. He tabernacled among us. He wanted to be with us. He became like us. So, because he wanted to love us in order to be with us forever. That's the heart of neighboring. It's the heart of God. And as God has trained me and grown me up in my neighborhood, he's taught me about the purpose of why I'm there, why we're here this morning, why we're having these discussions. They all come out of this good neighbor God who loves us no matter what. And as I have been on that journey, God has shaped my heart differently, and I've been moved towards my neighbors. Just like Jesus was moved from heaven to earth, I've been moved towards my neighbors by the heart of God. I can remember it was Christmas time. I was trying to deal with my house and lights were going up. You've all been there where you've had those days where, you know, in one day you're going to try to decorate the whole house, right? So you got the lights out and you got the tree and you're trying to do it all. And I had it all. And in our neighborhood, it's kind of a competition. Whoever gets the lights up first kind of wins the prize. Who can be first on the block to get their house decorated? And so I was ahead of the game. Things were going well. I had it all plugged in. I pushed the button. Everything lit up except for the one strand. Has that ever happened to you? Nightmare in the neighborhood. I've got it all but that one strand. I get out my ladder. I go up on you know, above my garage. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm frustrated. You know, I got to win this race. All of a sudden, I hear this clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. Sounds like somebody has a live nativity in the neighborhood. Somebody's going to try to outdo me. This clip-clop, clip-clop. Is it a horse, a donkey? What is this noise? It's coming towards me. Finally, I turn off my garage and I see It's not a donkey. It's not a horse. It's Wally, my neighbor. It's his walker. He's making such a noise. He's in the middle of the street, and he's going, it's making such a noise. What's going on? I get down to go out to meet Wally in the middle of the street. Wally, what's going on? He has this terrible look on his face. Distraught. Despair. Wally, what's going on? It's Rita. I found out that Rita has cancer. I don't know what to do. Wally, oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. This is hard. This is difficult. I don't know what to do either, but I do know how to pray. Can I pray for you, Wally? Right in the middle of the street. Can I pray for you, Wally? I guess so. So I lay hands on Wally and I start to pray, and the heart of God wells up, the compassion of the Father inside of my heart, praying for Wally, praying for Reedy, asking for God to heal, asking for God's presence to be there, asking to be with him. And my eyes are closed, and when I look up, I see Wally, and tears are streaming down Wally's face. And Wally looks up at me and he goes, Bucky, thank you. No one has ever prayed for me before. Whoa. That's why God called me into that neighborhood. To be the presence of God, to pray for my neighbors, to have the heart of God for my neighbors, to begin to think about them and where they're going, and God, how can I be involved in what you're doing in their life? It's not about me, it's about them. It's not about my agenda. How can I become available? How can I get on board with you in my neighborhood? Praying for our neighbors, such a powerful thing. Such a God-driven opportunity. The heart of God. God has placed us in our neighborhoods to hold his heart for our neighbors and to cry out for their salvation and grace and mercy in their lives. Seeing God's glory in the neighborhood. Jesus moved in the hood, and when we saw him, we saw the glory of God on him. God has moved us in the hood so people around us can see the glory of God. A lot of my neighbors are never going to come to church. A lot of my neighbors don't want to go to the church. They're done with churches. And yet in my neighborhood, I've seen people do things together that have shown the people outside of the church the glory, the tabernacle of God. When we moved into our house, we became best friends with our next door neighbors right next to us. So much so that we actually cut a hole in the fence, and in the back fence, and our kids went back and forth. We put a sign that says, back fence friends there. We raised our kids together, Peter and Andrea Devon. I've had a chance to do the weddings of both of their children. We've gone to the same church together. It's been an amazing adventure. And then 7 years ago, Peter brought us into his living room and told us the tragic news of what was going to happen to him at 53 years of age. He had contacted Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was going to die a slow and painful death. And that started, and he was a man of great faith, and that started this amazing thing in our neighborhood, because over the 4 years of his life, the women from our church and other churches and friends and neighbors started to combine together, and they started this thing they called Share the Care. And over 70 or 80 volunteers came together on a weekly basis, broken down 10, 12, 15 in a week. They cleaned his house. They raised money so he could redo his bathroom. They helped buy a van so he could get his wheelchair and get around the hood. They walked his dogs. I was part of the team that got a chance to put Peter in his wheelchair and walk him throughout the neighborhood and be with him. And through that time, as this community shared love and grace, many Christ followers coming down from different churches, the people outside, the people on the outer circle who didn't know God, who didn't want to go to church, got to see the glory of God through the care and compassion of God's community and God's church. As they loved this man, and Peter always had this smile. Lou Gehrig's took so much from Peter, everything from him except for his soul and the smile on his face. The glory of God was on his face. He had a smile. And when people from the neighborhood that weren't Christian that would come to serve him that became a part of this, he would always thank them. He would ask how he could pray for them. And somehow the glory of God and the testimony of who God was outside of the church came into our neighborhood as we shared the care. And people saw the glory of God through his people. Who's God called you to care for in your neighborhood? There are so many needs. As you pray, as you listen, God will open the doors. God will show you the way. There's so much hurt and there's so much pain in the neighborhood. All you just have to do is start to listen, start to ask questions, start to be available. And as you come together, the glory of God shows up in your care and your love for your neighbor. And finally, just as we do that, as we pray, as we care, it opens the door for the gospel. My neighbor right across the street this way is named Karen. And Karen and I are exact opposites. Karen's favorite holiday is Halloween. She loves it more than Christmas. She doesn't go to church. She decorates her house for Halloween like nothing I've ever seen how she goes to town on this house. My favorite holiday is Christmas or Easter. Her favorite movies are horror films. She loves horror films. She loves to talk about horror films. I hate horror films. My favorite movies are westerns. She's more liberal in orientation. I'm more conservative. You know, we're the exact opposites. And yet, as the garage doors open, as we take the trash out, as we see each other's dogs, there's conversations that happen in the neighborhood with Karen. And I've got a chance to know Karen's story through those conversations. And her family grew up in England, and the Church of England was very brutal to her father, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with the church. She's done with church. And yet in these conversations, she knows I'm a holy man. I'm a pastor. And she's going, this pastor is here, but he's pretty ordinary. His kids make mistakes like my kids. You know, he's got challenges and problems like I do. His dogs get out. I help him. My dogs get out. He helps me. He's just a normal guy. And as I have loved Karen, accepted Karen, extended grace to Karen, even in some of the, Karen goes to a medium. You know, I go to pray. We're so different. But in those conversations, I've accepted and loved Karen every time. Never judged her, never criticized her. And in those conversations, Karen, this Easter, accepted an invitation to come here to Watermark. She sat right back there. I prayed. I gave the gospel. I had one eye open. Oh, Lord, please help Karen to raise her hand. Karen didn't raise her hand, but she came. It's an ongoing dialogue. It's an ongoing discussion. But it begins with grace. Jesus shows up, the glory of God, full of grace and truth. So much people have been wounded by the church because of that truth, because of that truth without grace. God calls us in the hood to lead with grace. That opens the door to the gospel and the truth. Why has God called you to your neighborhood? Why did he place you there? What's the purpose? What's the calling? What's the opportunity? That's why we're here this morning. That's why we're discussing this. That's what today is all about. Thank you. God bless. I'll see you in the neighborhood.